Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Highly Questionable. Dan's not here. They got a little hurricane situation down there in Miami. So Dominique Foxworth turned up all to Miami over there.
Fake rolling and all.
Made out of? Yeah, what that shirt made out of?
It's flammable. I know that for sure.
Are you more surprised by the Saints dominating or the Bucks getting dominated?
Look, man, it ain't that often that Jameis Winston plays at Raymond James Stadium and doesn't throw an interception. That's just the kind of day it was for the Saints. The fact that Jameis even got in the game and they smoked Tampa 38-3. Now, the part that was surprising to me really was how bad the Tampa Bay defense was and that they gave up so many points. Tom Brady being bad, that's a continuation of something that's been happening all year. Not him being bad in sum total, but him being one of the two or three worst quarterbacks in the league when under pressure. You go look at all his numbers under pressure, they're at 29 or lower. The only quarterback this season with a lower completion percentage under pressure, Dwayne Haskins. And look, what separates good quarterbacks from great quarterbacks, we've known this for a long time, is how they deal with pressure. That's been a differentiating factor with Tom Brady, but that's also been a thing that holds quarterbacks up as they get older. They don't seem so keen on getting smoked by the defense the older that they get. And if Tom Brady's going to be a bad quarterback under pressure, then Tampa Bay cannot win a Super Bowl. There's no way around that.
Yeah, I think that the pressure numbers are concerning, but you like to see him perform well against the blitz more so than pressure, because I think that the veteran quarterbacks make you pay in that situation, and he wasn't doing that at all. So I'd say the most surprising thing to me wasn't necessarily how bad Tom played, but I know it's connected to what surprised me most, was how well that the Saints defense played, because the Saints defense has been pretty underwhelming and disappointing, despite the fact that they had some injuries, but not enough injuries to explain why they've been so bad. That's the difference in me thinking that the Saints are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and me thinking the Saints are going to get bumped in the first round is how well their defense is capable of playing when we get to the playoffs.
Dominique, let me ask you this. What do you think about Tampa Bay running the ball a grand total of 5 times?
Yeah, I'm fine with it if what you're doing is working, because we all accept that passing the ball is more efficient when you have all the receivers that they have, all the playmakers that they have. You know that throwing the ball works well when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. I would understand that being the strategy if it wasn't for the fact that you're putting a lot of pressure on that Hall of Fame quarterback when your O-line is not necessarily as consistent as you would want it to be.
Dominique, 5 times. Like, I understand if you decide you want to throw the ball a lot. They ran the ball 5 times on a day with Tom Brady, averaged 5.5 yards an attempt and threw 3 interceptions. They ran the ball 5 times. But Sean Payton, not like Sean Payton is a dude that's in love with the run. He's looking over there at them like, wow, you guys look one-dimensional.
But to be fair, they forced him to be one-dimensional because it felt like the Saints scored on every drive and Tampa Bay could not in the first half. So when you're down by 28 in the first half, you feel like you got to score a lot of points fast, and Ronald Jones ain't going to cut it.
Yo, they could have legitimately been down, what, like 35-42 in the first half if Jared Cook hadn't given up the ball a couple times, right? They could have legitimately been down in a way that would have had us talking about the Bucks like they was the Jets.
So do you still think the Bucks have a real shot, or you think that they're out of it now? Just because because when they're bad, they're really bad. The idea that the Bucks can put it together for 3 weeks in a row to get to the Super Bowl, maybe 2 weeks in a row if they can get this number one seed somehow, the idea that they can put it together that many weeks in a row, like, seems far-fetched to me.
Dude, you talk about number one seed. They're going to have to play on the road for pretty much every game. Right. Like, they've lost the tiebreaker to the Saints at this point. If they can't win the division, they're just going to be a wild card team. And can they go how many games in the playoffs without playing somebody with a real live pass rush? Remember, they lost to Chicago. All right, I tried to warm you up with some nostalgia, talk about Jameis throwing picks at Raymond James Stadium, and apparently Jameis wanted to bring some nostalgia about something else.
Was everyone able to be so productive tonight?
Fantastic.
And remember, he did that at the Superdome when he did it playing for Tampa.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. Being in on the joke is a good idea, but I'm normally one who is all in favor of celebrations. But do you have to be more instrumental in the win to be showboating, or it doesn't matter because it's your ex-team?
I would also contend that it's bad form in the face of the pandemic after touching the football and all that stuff to be like licking on your fingers in that way. Like that looks disgusting in a way that it did not when he was eating the W before.
Oh, and it was disgusting the first time.
After outdueling the presumptive MVP Russell Wilson, now do you guys owe Josh Allen an apology?
we're going to do this. Okay, after having a fairly pedestrian month and a couple weeks where we didn't even talk about Josh Allen at all, he was out here looking like Warren Moon playing against the Seattle Seahawks. Lit them up. Had about 300 yards in the first half. It was like a track meet for Buffalo. The throws were all easy. Everything was all cash money. And I understand, man. You guys think I hate Josh Allen. I really don't hate Josh Allen. I sent him his condolences. His grandmother died before the game, and he still came out and put up a top-notch performance. However, I might look like Warren Moon playing against that Seattle defense. Ryan Fitzpatrick was looking like Warren Moon playing against that Seattle defense. I think they give up something like 50 yards per game more than any other team in the NFL. So you can't blame Josh Allen for doing well against a bad defense, but you can't ignore the fact that the defense is bad. All of which is to say, I ain't apologizing to you for nothing.
This happens to me sometimes when I'm on this show and someone says something, then I get hung up on the one thing they said and I can't hear anything else. You saying Warren Moon and me imagining how the Buffalo Bills fans could figure out a way to not like Warren Moon despite the fact that he was fantastic is all I've been thinking of, because what they have now is something that is not close to Warren Moon, but they are acting like he is Tom Brady. So I think that his game, like the stats on a game, were fantastic, but I know that their expectations and their goals are much higher than routing this awful defense. So the Seattle defense is so bad that I had to look up historic numbers. So I went all the way back to 2006 and looked at the EPA numbers for the last 15 years. Their defense is 407th by efficiency out of 480 teams. That's who he went off against. So Josh Allen is good. Their pass defense is 427th out of 480 teams in the past 15 years. So Josh Allen did what he was supposed to do against a bad team when you have good playmakers and you are an average to above average on occasion quarterback. The best thing you can hope for Josh Allen is not to make those bonehead plays in tough situations. And fortunately, they coached them up. They were ready. They were not in any tough situations because they wally-bopped them from the gate.
Wow, the wally-mop is normally the molly-wop. Dominique said he did them so bad that they wally-mopped him. And in case you're curious about how they can make Warren Moon a bad thing, I did have somebody on Twitter hit me back when I said that he was out here putting up Warren Moon numbers, being like, you can't say nothing nice about Josh Allen. I compared him to Warren Moon. Now, please understand, in Buffalo, they got the memories of that comeback at Rich Stadium that Warren Moon was there for. So maybe that's what they think about. But Josh Allen has already blown a very similar lead at that stadium, only to be bailed out by a pass interference call against the Rams. In fact, I might have got it right calling the Warren Moon for when the bad stuff might happen. It may have been too kind in talking about the good.
There should be another award other than MVP, because I know we only give MVP to quarterback, or we should change that award to the quarterback, the best quarterback award. But I mean, yes. My man Stephon Diggs, he should get some looks. He is turning that offense into something special. Stephon Diggs is a problem.
Yes, he is. And, yo, what does it say about Kirk Cousins that Stephon Diggs is out here with Josh Allen like, yo, I didn't know life could be like this.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Yo, I was not encouraged by what I saw from Tua in his first game against the Rams, which is at home, and I think he was 12 for 22 for like 92 yards or something like that. I wasn't really feeling it, and I wasn't really feeling it early in this game. I was looking at it like, wow, he seems so small. He seems to be laboring when he moves. Anyway, then came the rest of the game, and I am here.
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Are you starting to believe in Tua and the Dolphins?
Yo, I was not encouraged by what I saw from Tua in his first game against the Rams, which is at home, and I think he was 12 for 22 for like 92 yards or something like that. I wasn't really feeling it, and I wasn't really feeling it early in this game. I was looking at it like, wow, he seems so small. He seems to be laboring when he moves. Anyway, then came the rest of the game, and I am here. Yo, man, like, that looked a lot like the dude that we saw at Alabama. Like, the dudes are not going to be as butt-naked open all the time as they were at Alabama, but he was making those throws, right? He was throwing those digs. He was throwing those comeback routes. He was throwing deep over the middle. Like, he looks like a guy who is going to be an NFL quarterback. And if nothing else, he looked like a dude that should make every single person that wept for Ryan Fitzpatrick feel like a moron. You knew the day was going to come that Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to throw like four interceptions. And I'll say this, you hope that the second game will look like this from Tua. Well, guess what? It looked like this from Tua. This is their dude until he's not.
hold on, there were people who are weeping for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, I understood that he won some games. He was playing okay. People actually thought you need to stick around. Like, that was the one of the few Brian Flores decisions that I agreed with from the start, and we were both right. So Brian Flores, I think, is probably rightfully in the running for Coach of the Year. The same for Chris Greer as far as Executive of the Year for the things that they've been doing this season to build this team. But I was certainly one of the people outspoken last year when it felt like they were trying to throw the season away. But I didn't account for how special it feels like Brian Flores is. And he is making it look so difficult for the rest of you coaches out here who don't have no talent, who don't have no quarterback, and you feel like you can't win. You get blown out every week. They didn't have anything last season. They gave away what they did have. And somehow Brian Flores put together a team and a culture that was competitive enough to knock off a playoff team in the last week of the season and then come into this year and have a pretty respectable start with Ryan Fitzpatrick, which I think is another badge for Brian Flores, and then make a transition, a gutsy transition midseason to a rookie quarterback who doesn't play well one week, and then comes out and shuts the lights out for the second half of this game while five of their coaches that morning were put on COVID protocol. That is outrageous. Like, this accomplishment is not going to get celebrated nearly as much because it's just a regular season win and they barely won because Cliff Kingsbury made some bad decisions and apparently their kicker can't get the ball deep enough to tie it. But still, it is a huge accomplishment. The reason why I'm wearing this ridiculous shirt and sunglasses in November, because I love what they are doing in Miami with Chris Greer and Brian Flores and now Tua too.
Well, yo, can they win the division? And I bring this up because when Flores took that job, I was really like, yo, you see this how they do us, right? Like, yep. The only job that he could wind up getting is the one that everybody thought was going to be the tank job, because that's how they do us. Look at your boy Patricia, who wound up getting as good a situation as anybody could get becoming a head coach. He stunk up the joint. Flores got the worst house on the block, and he done flipped that flop already, right? Because you were absolutely correct. They gave Minka Fitzpatrick away last year. He was like, I don't want to be on this sinking ship. Fine, go to Pittsburgh, got a number one pick for it. They traded Laremy Tunsil, right? That didn't seem to make a lot of sense. Now they're going to get that Texans pick next year, right? The Texans pick next year, which might be high enough to take somebody like Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, except they don't need Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence because apparently they've got Tua. So what are they going to do? They could turn that into not just picks. They could turn that into a big-time player. Like, for all this, they got a long-term plan. Their long-term plan looks like it might be a Super Bowl plan literally next season.
Absolutely. And they traded away Minka Fitzpatrick, which I thought was a ridiculous decision considering that I knew Brian Flores wanted to build kind of Patriot South, which is going to be full of flexible DBs that can cover it. I'm like, why are you getting rid of Minka Fitzpatrick? He's exactly what you need in that secondary. He went and signed Byron Jones the following offseason. And I think they moved on from Minka, not necessarily because his skill set, but because they wanted to establish a culture, which I always think is like a foolish thing to say unless you really going to do it, because they established something that is special. A lot of people are playing over their heads right now, and they've drafted reasonably well considering how they're competing in their division right now. And I do think I picked them last week before this win that they had this week, and I picked them to come back and win that division because I think the Pats are done and I don't believe in Josh Allen.
Well, I will take this another step further. Let me ask you this. Of all the Belichick disciples to get NFL jobs, has this dude accomplished more in a year and a half than the rest of them? Like, because I can't name one that's done as much as he has done with this particular Dolphins team.
I was wondering where you were going with that question, because the answer was yes as soon as you said of all the Belichick disciples. Like, I mean, I guess you could say that in Houston, Bill O'Brien had some success. They won a lot of division championships. I think they overachieved with some bad quarterbacks throughout that process, but he never built anything as promising as what the Dolphins have right now. And not only do they, like you said, have that Houston first round pick, they also have that second round pick, which is going to be in the 30s somewhere, most likely. So they are in great shape to trade those or pick somebody up. I can't imagine another young fan base out there being more excited than the people in Miami.
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question which turnover was more painful for Phillip Rivers?
Hey, by the way, shout out to everybody who noticed that when the Ravens play against a good team and they do not win, we talk about can Lamar win a game against a good team? And then the Colts, who seemed to be pretty good and had a good defense, the Ravens beat them, and we put this down here and talk about Phillip Rivers. I see you. Let's get a look at this. This was ruled an incomplete pass on the field. But via replay, one step, two step, three step, it was ruled an interception, a fumble, which was then recovered. Now let's get a look at this other play.
Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor. Gator rock up.
Frank
comes
Clark.
Back the other way. Oh, there's Phillip Rivers.
Oh, dead bug defense. Pretty bad.
I feel like the interception had to be worse for Phillip Rivers, right?
No. I'm going the other way. I feel like looking like a hungry baby in his crib is a lot more embarrassing than throwing an interception. Like, Phillip Rivers throws interceptions. He is comfortable with it. He's used to it. We could argue whether that one was an interception or not, but it's clear he had possession, and clear he took two to three steps. I'm pretty sure they would have called it a touchdown if it was a receiver in the end zone, so I'm sticking by the interception and saying
See,
Phil
there it was.
Is
there
made
it was. I was about to say.
I knew it was coming.
I was just about to say, we could argue about it. You ain't about to argue about it. You always got the DBs back, but you are right, right? Like everybody that was on the dance caught it, kick, and that the rules don't make any sense. Changing the rules is what makes this, in effect, an interception. But can you show the pass one more time with Phillip Rivers on that play? Because look at Phillip Rivers and how hard he had to try to throw that duck. Every time I watch this dude, he looks wiggity wash.
I really respect Chuck Clark because it seems like something that I would do or something that I did do. My one pick six instead of avoiding Ben Roethlisberger at the end. I was a crazy football lunatic, and I was like, you know what? I could go in right here. Nah, get some of that, Ben.
Yo, I did not realize how humble you truly are until this moment, because in all this time I've done television with you, this is the first time they've ever run a highlight.
Yeah, that's because I'm super confident. It's not being humble. It's about being confident. So when a bunch of lanes are throwing things at you, you just smile and laugh it off because you're like, they wish they was me.
Do you question if the motion sold this play?
All right, Andy Reid is saying that Patrick Mahomes is now playing at a higher level than he has before, which makes sense because the dude is like, what, 23, 24? This is scary. Anyway, let's check out this goal line play.
Wholly unnecessary.
Oh, wow.
They just stunt. They just looking through.
They're running the because we can offense.
They're just looking through the rule book, looking for things. I guarantee you that the enemy went in Reed's office and was like, did you know the quarterback could go in motion? Let's see what we can do with that.
They're combining this crazy individual stuff with that Saints situation where you just look up and be like, yo, he's throwing to who?
That is just stunning, right? Like that, I guess maybe the motion might get the defense to start to lean in that direction. But the fact that they put the motion in there is just, it's like what they did in the Super Bowl when they did that triple spin reverse wishbone nonsense. Like, that is just out there flexing. And I have to say, I respect it. I fumbled my flex, but I still respect it.
In a gym somewhere, Kevin Durant.
All right, we have a photograph here of Kevin Durant with a young man who plays for the Pistons. I mean you no disrespect by not identifying you by your name, but you have to understand, once people see this picture, nobody's even going to think about the fact that you are in this picture. Let's get a look at this.
Aww.
Now, this is all I want to know. Which one of y'all told Kevin Durant to get like me? Because I feel like this is his attempt to get like me. It's quarantine. You do a little hair growth. But I didn't get like that. Like, that is actually thought it how I thought it was that I would get. I did not get like that. And I don't remember who said this on Twitter, but he's correct. It is obvious that the only thing Kevin Durant cares about is basketball. That's it.
I mean, to be fair, in my opinion, it might be a hot take. KD don't got the worst hair in the picture. Like, KD is 7 feet, and, like, you can do stuff with that at that height. Like, I mean, the front hairline is a little bit more challenging to me. Like, KD could call up LeBron, get some of that LeBron action. He could paint it. He could do something. There are plenty of moves KD at 7 foot can have because he got two measly little patches. It's nothing you can do, as one of us may know.
When that hairline starts creeping back. Put that back up there. Nah, man. Well, I wish I had a telestrator so I could circle that thing right there at the front and then the whole thing. And the situation in the back, we had seen the yarmulke creeping up on him for quite a long time, right? Like, here's why I don't understand this. He might as well just cut his own hair because he don't care. Like, he clearly has no problem with having a bad haircut, so he might as well get a DIY. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on Highly Questionable. We will be back tomorrow. I think, hope that hurricane don't blow Dan away, like, because then I'm going to have to do this every day. Hold up, hold up, hold up. The producers tell me that we have unearthed another Dominique
producers
Foxworth highlight.
Or haters. Wannabes.
Oh, wow. I've never seen this in live action.
Ten carries for 137 yards and a touchdown for Michael.
You know what? Props to Michael Turner. I didn't realize he was that fast.
He's not. I'm very disappointed in myself.